Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Ah, crap! I almost forgot! Hey! Sean! I'm saving it for a good time!
What is it?
Big G! The best!
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Hey, check this out. Lou Gehrig's pants. Not a bad fit. Hey, you don't think that nerve disease of his was contagious, do you? I'm going to take him off. I'm too important to this team. Big Stein can't be flopping and twitching.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Let's have a smell, all right? Ooh, wafting, wafting. Oh, everyone likes their own brand, don't they? This is magic.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Those goofy bastards are just about the best thing I've got going in this crazy world.
The Fan.
Well, my mind is going through them changes.
All right, welcome back in the second hour here on The Fan. Here on Dirt and Sprague. Happy Fast Break Friday. If you missed the first hour, of course, you can always podcast. 1080zfan.com. The on-demand section.
Hey, did you know college baseball starts today?
I did. Go Beavs.
Catch the fever.
Yeah, Pat Bailey is actually still the coach. I kept hearing that he wasn't going to be the coach. That
down at OSU?
That Pat Casey was going to come back and change his mind. Pat Bailey is the head coach.
What is Pat Casey up to these days?
Hey, just hanging out. Life, yeah, hanging out.
Hanging out, doing some administrative stuff, right? He's still around the athletic department, isn't he?
He's still down there. Yeah. He's also, I think you may remember, he's kind of working with the Portland Diamond Project.
That's right.
So he's still around.
I still advocate if we get a team in the next 2-3 years, that'd be pretty kick-ass to have him as the manager.
I don't know how baseball works. Like, could a great manager in college, obviously he's great, he won 3 championships in Corvallis. Is there like a problem if he bypasses all of the minor league levels and just becomes
a
manager?
Not anymore, I wouldn't say. Because you now have guys getting hired as managers. It's like an NBA thing that have never coached.
Experience.
They just, boom, that guy was a good player. Put him in there.
Who are the last couple we've had?
I'm thinking
of former athletes.
To my knowledge, Dave Roberts never managed anywhere before he was made manager. I don't believe.
No, I don't think Cora.
Cora,
did.
I don't think so. Brad Ausmus.
Ventura didn't.
Ventura Matheny, when he was, I don't think he coached anywhere.
Nope. So most of them.
Yeah, I mean,
most of the recent
guys.
Hires, yeah.
Did Girardi coach anywhere else before?
That's a good question.
The Yankees?
Wasn't he the Marlins manager for like a year or something?
I can't remember that off the
top. Or was that after? Yeah. I can't remember.
But that's the trend they're going now.
That's about the theme of the show. I can't remember.
I don't know. But it's the same thing that's happening in the NBA where you got that streak of Steve Kerr never coached. Boom, what the hell? Throw him in there. Mark Jackson, Jason Kidd. Remember when Derek Fisher was a coach for 1 year and then he was stooping players' wives?
Yeah.
That happened.
I do remember that,
actually.
That
was a whole thing.
Yeah.
And that's a big issue now in college hoops because that's what Memphis did with Penny. And everybody's pissed at him.
Well, and Penny's also kind of being a D back to everybody else.
Right, but that's the route that they went. And we don't care if this guy's coached at Ohio. I mean, I know he coached AAU, but... Yeah, we'll make him the coach. I bet more programs do that if it works out for him.
Somehow, though, I still feel like if we had a Major League Baseball team... And Pat Casey were to get that job, I still feel like a lot of people up in Portland would find ways to say why we shouldn't have done that. We don't have a guy with the experience.
Sure.
This is a new team. We need to take this seriously. That's a joke of a hire.
Yeah, I wouldn't care. You could hire like a clown to run that team. Just having a baseball team would be awesome. You can hire a clown for the first year for all I care.
Yeah. Yeah. You got a baseball team. I don't care who it is, year one or two. Year three, I'm going to start really caring.
Yeah,
all right, when do we get good?
Hey, can we start winning here? I'm done with this honeymoon phase.
We have a lot to get to here in the second hour of the show. Benjamin Albright's going to join us at 1:45 today for crunch time. The NFL, evidently there's owners that hate Roger Goodell and they want a new commish and they reached out to Adam Silver. Silver said no, but we'll bring that story to you. And we have John Wilner writing another story on how the Pac-12 sucks. how they only made like $2.7 million.
Yeah, even lower than originally projected.
Yeah. I we'll get into that when we get into it. But I wanted to start this one with kind of a loose topic. So it's week two in the AAF.
It's coming up. And I've seen a lot of people write articles on it saying they're going to capitalize because it's a slow sporting weekend.
It is a very slow sports weekend unless you're into the NBA stuff. And even if you are, that's not till nighttime.
Yeah, if you're not an all-star guy, there's nothing else on this. I mean, you got hockey, but I know I'm speaking to a small minority there.
Well, we'll see. I'm really interested. They may not get the exact number, but I'm really curious to see feedback from the media folks of what CBS Sports Network picked up in traction, if at all, from the AAF week
From week one to week two. There's always the big one in week one, and now we'll see how consistent their viewership can become.
But the one thing I took away from week one, having not watched it, was I kept thinking of some of the little things that they're tweaking, like no kickoff, for example, no PAT. Fewer commercials, right. There's like little things that they have changed versus the NFL. If you could change one thing in your favorite league, what would it be? Like because a lot of people enjoyed the AAF and the differences that they had from the NFL.
Yeah.
And I understand that. There are a lot of things I don't like about the NFL. But if you were to go to your favorite sport, and maybe that is football, college or pro, baseball, obviously basketball, you pick a sport, hockey for God's sakes. What's one thing you would change?
I will say first, on the AAF note, that to me is the main positive that can come out of this league, is that there's ideas that are created, techniques that are used that the NFL can look at and say, man, that really worked. We should try that as well. The one we talked about last week was having the replay official mic'd up, and some people liked it, some people didn't. But those are the kind of things that maybe the NFL keeps an eye on and says, man, a lot of people related well to that, and response was great, so let's implement that in the National Football League. If I were to change a rule in a sport, I have like a two-way tie. And one might surprise you because I bash the sport constantly.
Oh.
But I'll start with college football. The idea of college football not having parity has always bothered me.
Okay.
Like in professional sports, you have contracts that you have to figure out. If you win a championship, you don't get the number one overall pick. Like there's a limitation on what you can do in terms of paying guys and how many draft selections you have and where you're drafting, right? So there are built-in rules to keep teams from creating dynasties, even though we still see them in professional sports. I think the first thing that I would do is I would love to see a model in college football that mirrors the NFL draft. And by that, I mean, however you finish ranked, say, in the top 25, there becomes a limitation on how many scholarship players you can sign the next year. So if Alabama wins national championship after national championship, they just can't consistently go out there and bring in the number one recruiting class, that there is some parameter put in, and I don't know what it would be, but some parameter put in that limits them from just getting the best talent year after year after year, because it's the equivalent of like the New England Patriots having the number one overall draft pick every year in the NFL draft. And we would all bemoan how ridiculously unfair that is because they're already the best, and why do we keep giving them the best? So I think some form of like fairness act in recruiting in college football, mm-hmm. I would love to see to spread out the balance of power.
Okay, so I long thought about this, and I went to my favorite league, right? Like I love me some football, love college football, but I'm always going to be an NBA guy first. Nothing's ever going to be able to change that. Mine has nothing to do with the actual NBA, but it's in basketball. I would eliminate AAU basketball. I'd eliminate it yesterday. I think a large reason that you have the league that you have is, one, the player power is always going to be bigger in the NBA than really any other sport. But I think it's also a dynamic of AAU basketball. These kids are meeting each other on AAU teams at, 16 years old? And they're friends through high school, through their year or two at college. And then guess what? They're still friends when they go to the NBA. I think if you eliminated that, you'd get a little more, because when you see a group of people that you're playing in a sport, pickup, college, whatever, you don't know anybody. There's no emotional tie of like, oh, that's my guy.
Right.
Hey, what's up, dude? Or, there's an element to that I enjoy. I would eliminate AAU basketball.
AAU basketball.
Yep.
On the chopping block.
Yep. Gone.
I'd be okay with that. I'm not even a hoop guy, but I would be completely okay with that.
Because if you care about like parity in the NBA, which has always been funny to me that we act like it's a big deal now versus when it in the 80s and 90s.
There's never been parity.
That to me is, there are solvable things, but they're way out of left field. Now, AAU, is you could probably put it in the category because of the money generated on all those tournaments and whatnot. But like you could say, superstar player gets drafted, can't lead the team for 10 years.
Right. Don't let him go anywhere.
There's no mobility.
Yeah,
everybody has to be where they started.
No
10
free
years.
Agency.
After 10 years, you can be a free agent. You can go elsewhere. But 10 years. Give a team 10 years.
Good luck with that.
They can't figure it out. Well, then the player can say, I'm out.
Well, my basketball one, and I was joking because I always bash the sport. I would love for the rules of one and done to be gone. And I think the rule, the way it should look, is college baseball. That you either have guys bounce from high school straight to the NBA if they're good enough and they're ready to go, like Zion Williamson. If not, you go to college for 3 years. I don't think it'll ever happen. I think there might be a hybrid of that rule. But I miss, because like, I make fun of the college basketball product because it's not good. And I think the main reason it's not good is because you don't have household names. You don't have guys developing their game over 2 or 3 years. You have everybody who, whether they're deserving or not, just jumping into the NBA after one season. And I think it kills the product. And I would love to be a bigger fan of college basketball again, because I used to be, because the product was great. And if you had guys sticking around for 3 years, I think not only would it tremendously help regular season college basketball, because you would have household names playing for 3 years and going to tournaments and chances to win multiple championships and all that stuff. But on top of it, I do think in the long run, it would benefit the NBA, because the riffraff of guys that go from high school to the league that can't make it, that's fine. The ones that are good enough will adjust. But there's so many guys that need more seasoning. They're just not ready. Zach Collins, prime example, could have used a couple of more years of college. Troy Brown from Oregon, like, that dude had no business jumping to the NBA, but of course he did because the payday's there. So that's another one that I would think about. I think it would help the NBA a ton, and I think it would save college basketball from irrelevancy in the regular season.
This one's way out there, and this is what I like about it. It's like, it's almost unrealistic things that we're suggesting, right? Like, the leagues and sports will never agree to it. This one says, Better You Today text line, if you win the national championship, then you shouldn't be allowed to sign any prospect ranked higher than a consensus 3-star. Imagine Alabama getting nothing but 3-stars after winning a title.
See, that's what I'm saying, like having some balance. Like, and somebody said, great, Dirt doesn't want kids getting an education. No, the kids can go wherever they you just can't choose that one school. There's a limit. If Clemson wins the national championship, I would put a limit on the recruiting class that they could bring in the following year.
Hard salary cap in the NBA is one we've got. You wouldn't have teams like the Warriors exist just because the owner can afford to pay the luxury tax. Yeah, but, you know, baseball's got good parity. They don't have a salary cap.
No, but...
I know it's a lot different game.
Right, it's a different sport. That's the reason.
I don't know if it does guarantee your teams aren't still great.
So. You would still have guys that find ways to take cheaper deals to fit underneath the hard... The NBA, it's just, you're never going to have it because there's 5 guys on the floor.
Right.
There's 15 guys on a roster. Like, parity in the NFL is pretty relevant, but New England is the rare example of a team that stuck around and won for 20 years.
I've always thought if you really want to handicap a team in terms of saying, hey, you're great, we're not going to allow you to add Kevin Durant, for example, just using the Warriors.
Right.
Money is always going to be some sort of like, hey, this sucks, we don't want to do it. But I would actually add, if you took draft picks away in the future, like first round draft picks, and you project it out of when you think that team will suck, I think you'd get less teams that would dip into the tax. Whereas you get teams that are great or good.
Right.
They're saying, yeah, we don't want to pay, but damn, we're close. Let's go. Let's go for it. The draft, you could say, Warriors, you get into the luxury tax this year.
Can't
if you're a repeater,
it.
You lose your next 2 first-round draft picks.
That's a pretty
starting in 2026, when the team suddenly Curry's old, Clay's old, Draymond's gone, KD's gone. And now the team's like, oh, crap.
That's not bad. I'm on board with that.
I've always felt the repeater tax is big, and I get the financial implications, but you really hurt a team, and you make them think about that by going, oh, crap, we're not going to have any... Yeah. Insurance once this run is done. Maybe it's worth it, maybe it's not.
And you got a lot of owners that can just pay it. They don't want to pay it, but they can afford to pay it if they have to.
Absolutely.
So there's not a huge penalty for them.
Yeah. All right, a lot of good ones coming in. The Better You Today text line. We'll read some more of those. And then John Wilner wrote a piece on the Pac-12 network, which sucks. They're making new money. But is there any end in sight on this? We got that next on The Fan. All right, I need to know now, because this may be one of the last times we do this unless it's a really explosive story. I really want to know from listeners that are willing to text in at 55305. Where are you at on all of these, the Pac-12 Network sucks stories? Are you exhausted of it? Are you enjoying it? Do you want to see him keep being written? I'm really just generally interested how listeners feel about it. John Wilner wrote another piece for the Mercury News. It's really well done, and I'd highly recommend you check it out unless you are sick of it, and you can let us know at 55305.
And if you're not behind the paywall there, you got a limitation on how many of those you can read every 30 days.
You do. But he wrote an article on the Pac-12 Network and how it's even worse than we thought financially.
Yeah.
Schools are receiving an annual payout from the network that are a fraction of what they had hoped when they agreed to this. There's a USF sports management professor who said, quote, "From day one, I worried about them having all those channels and having to produce all of that programming. That's crazy hard to do without spending a lot of money on a lot of programming with low value, aka the Olympic sport model, which is why they have the network, because they want to air all those sports. But quite frankly, unless you're a parent or a relative, you're not watching those.
Not doing anything for people.
And the viewership is garbage. They made like $2.6 million per school. Larry Scott makes 4.8 as the commissioner. He's the highest paid in the Power Five. Subscriber base is around 17.9 million. We know it well, that they're obviously not on satellite, so you get a lot of people that can't get it. What have you made of all of the stories that have come out, and what do we make of the latest one from John Wilner?
I mean, I'm not surprised by anything at this point. The Pac-12 network is failing. The ratings aren't there. It's not a channel that attracts a vast amount of people. And I think initially what we all applauded as sports fans is the Pac-12 going on their own and creating this network for all their schools and institutions has been an epic failure. All of this stuff is, I mean, sure, it's scary, I think, for programs to see, man, you thought you were supposed to be making $7 million at this point in the network and you're only bringing in somewhere in the area of $2 million. That's not good. The thing that I always come back to, and I know you always come back to as well, first off, with the TV deal, nothing's going to change because contracts are in existence, I want to say, until 2023. So we can continue to report on this, but there's nothing that the conference can do in the next 4 years to change this and have a, you know, flow of cash come in. And then the other aspect of it, because somebody texted in and said, "I love it. Keep them, you know, keep the stories coming, hold them accountable." The university presidents don't care about this.
They clearly don't.
Because if they did, something would have been done, or there would be more pressure, or this would be a bigger story. Your university is a prime example of this. My alma mater, doesn't need this money. They're going to be just fine. They have enough donors. Phil Knight's there. Like, they don't need the extra $5 million a year from the Pac-12 network. The universities that get screwed over and stuff like this are places like Oregon State, places like Washington State, the smaller schools that don't have big-level donors behind the scenes, like Oregon or Washington or USC or UCLA. They're the ones that do rely on that $5 million and could desperately use it year in and year out. And if I were a fan of one of those universities, I would be yanking my hair out because their presidents should be screaming from the rooftop saying, "This is unacceptable. You totally screwed us over. We need new leadership in this conference." But guess what? How many damning stories have we seen over the last 6 months? And have you heard one president, one? I think there was one quote, maybe one time from Washington State's president that was slightly negative.
Slightly disappointing, yeah.
Other than that, nothing from any of these universities. So guess what? Like, we can hold them accountable and you want the stories to keep coming. This has been a storyline for 8 months and nothing has changed.
I'm kind of in that camp where, like, I'm tired of it because I feel like people are, you know, you see a lot of people tweeting about it and I'm like, okay, you know, when I first saw it, I'm like, oh, here we go. And then it just keeps coming and going and going and going and going. And I'm like, okay, I get it. Like, I understand the conference sucks, but I'm also with that listener. I feel like the only way you are truly going to make a change, because what other option do you have, is by holding them accountable and letting everybody know how grossly mismanaged and terrible it's been. Just as an example, in Wilner's piece, they had a meeting for the pre-launch presentation, and it wowed everybody in the room. So according to a source, the high-end payments were going to be $7 to $10 million per school per year.
Yeah.
Middle were 5 to 7, and low end 3 to 5. Well, it was under 3. Bill Moose, who is now at Nebraska, was asked about this in the story. He said he didn't quite remember the figures, which is complete horse crap.
Thanks, Bill.
But he did say, quote, "We were all giddy, and we couldn't have been giddy. We wouldn't have been giddy over $2 million per year."
Yeah.
We were just coming off the biggest tier one deal in the history of college sports, the $3 billion agreement with ESPN and Fox. And I think that's an important part to remember, too, if you're trying to be somewhat fair. When you get that kind of deal, what was that? Was that 2011 when that deal
somewhere
went down?
Somewhere around there, yeah.
$3 billion? I mean, was anybody bashing that deal and that notion and that model when it happened? Yes or no? Columnists?
No.
Talk radio? Anybody?
Nobody saw the financial TV deals exploding the way that they
did. Okay, so that's kind of where I also come in. And you can say, well, this is Larry Scott's job to project out. We're just reacting with what we see. And there's a big element to that. But I also do find it funny, like $3 billion is so much money, especially back then, that it was like, well, do we not take that deal? Are we better off taking $1 billion and doing this and that instead of launching our own network? That wouldn't have been looked over as well. That wouldn't have been received as well, in my opinion, in that moment. So I find it very interesting. But to your larger point, like if Oregon State's Ed Ray is never going to hold him accountable and he's perfectly okay calling everybody like us fake news and this is not a big deal, why am I supposed to believe this is ever changing? You get Mike Leach that says this is actually a problem. Money and exposure go hand in hand, and they obviously have a problem with that. But like, if Mike Leach, if that's the hardest he's willing to go, we're screwed, because that's not going really hard like Mike Leach is capable of. And that's overall where I come on this. It doesn't feel like anybody's willing to actually take that step and go, I don't care if he hates me. I don't care what the email and text reaction is.
Yes. Or fined or whatever.
I'm coming out and I'm telling everybody this is horrible and we need to change it.
Yeah, and P1 Gus said, my hope is that the more light that is shed on it, finally the public voices will be enough for the presidents to actually do something about it. And I agree with that. I think that's the positive in the reporting that has taken place. My follow-up would be, how much more negative could it get?
Yeah, I don't know what else we could write about.
What else could you find out? Like, it's been awful, and it's been month after month of just terrible, terrible stories coming out about the conference and how incompetent they are and how little money they're making and the private equity. And it's been nothing but bad stories for so long, and it really hasn't moved the needle at the highest level. It's not a shock to me that Pac-12 fans are not interested in Olympic sports. Like, the fact that we didn't have and this is hindsight because we all thought it was a good idea at the time, but like, we're not that rabid of fan bases to begin with. And then you throw in sports that the vast majority of people don't care about. Like, of course the ratings are going to be awful in that regard, because everybody, ourselves included, probably, I don't remember what my opinion was on it at the time, but I think we all applauded the Pac-12 for creating their own network and not having the crutch of an ESPN or Fox. I was like, man, they're going out on their own. They're doing this. What a big step. They don't need the ESPN production behind it. They're going to generate all the money and they're going to keep all the money. You don't have to split with any major TV network. And now you look back on it, hindsight, it's like, man, was that a bad idea? And once the TV deals are up, I wouldn't be shocked if they change course on that.
So let me ask you this then. What is the alternative? I'm not telling you I agree with it. I think it's terrible. I hate that he's not held accountable. He's the highest paid commissioner, and that's a joke. But like, what is the alternative?
I don't think for the Pac-12 network there is one.
And that's my big question is, like, I can read these pieces and they're really well done. I'm not trying to bash any writer. But like, what is the alternative? Everybody's got an opinion on Larry Scott. He sucks. The network's terrible. It's embarrassing. Well, I've been telling you guys this for a couple of years, and it makes people mad. But the reality is, we're not diehard sports fans here. That's just the reality. The SEC and a couple other conferences can get away with some stuff. We can't. We don't have diehard fan bases in this conference. So what is the alternative? You know, all I get is Larry Scott sucks. So what is an alternative?
Yeah,
you quit the network and then you just bow down to ESPN. You're still going to be on 730 Kicks, by the way.
And you're not going to make any more money, because then at that point you're splitting revenue. Like, the ACC network pairs with ESPN. They split the percentage of it, but ESPN brings in some of the profits there. There's no fix with the Pac-12 network, because we just don't care enough as fans to avidly watch it and constantly watch it, really, no matter what the content is. Like, is there anything that the Pac-12 network could put on to better produce to get you to watch in off seasons?
Honestly, off seasons, no.
The game, sure. Like, Oregon State playing Colorado. Like, of course we're going to watch that. It's a local team. It's a live game. Maybe people are into college hoops or occasionally college baseball.
Right.
But outside of the live sports, is there anything that they could air to get you to watch?
No.
Well,
mainly reruns. I'd rather watch reruns of football than watch whatever god-awful Olympic sport they're showing.
So, and that's where I think the network, I think we get caught up too much in it, because it's $7 million and now it was supposed to be $7 million, now it's $2 million. Like, that's not a huge chunk of money. Where you're really losing right now is with your tier one TV deal. But again, that goes back to they just kind of hit the open market before the other major conferences did. So they signed at the time, as we just mentioned, a $3 billion deal that seemed like a crazy good contract. And then you see what the other major conferences signed for, and you think, man, we're kind of left out here in the cold. So that's it. You're just going to have to wait because you can't get out of this deal until it expires. And guess what? When it does, the Pac-12 is going to make more money on their next TV deal. No matter how good or bad the conference is, you're going to get more money in 2023. You're just stuck with the length of the contract until it expires.
Yeah, I mean, if we had John on the show, I would say, John, I think you're a good Pac-12 reporter down there in the Bay Area. Is there any way we could do a piece where you just interview a bunch of people and get their speculation of what is an alternative then? How do you get the conference out of the mess, right? If it's a mess, what's the alternative way to pull your bootstraps up and get out of it? I haven't heard one yet. Haven't seen one. Haven't heard one. It's just all about Larry Scott, and I get it. The frustrations with Larry Scott are real. It's been embarrassing from the presidents, in my opinion. I'd like to see coaches speak out, but of course they won't. But there's no alternative, and that's kind of where you're at, is what is the alternative? And I think that's the problem. That's why people maybe aren't freaking out within the conference. They don't know what the alternative should be,
right,
outside of, well, we'll see what the next deal. All right, coming up next, what did we write down here? Oh, Adam Silver was asked to be the commissioner of the NFL by a few owners. He said no. We'll talk about that story next on The Fan.
Hey, NFL writer Benjamin Albright going to join us coming up in 10 minutes. We'll talk about the Kaepernick and Eric Reed case coming to a settlement today. Wants to get you in the final hour, Sprague in the line. Charles Barkley outspoken on Anthony Davis. They also fired their GM today in New Orleans. So that story's not going away.
That was coming out regardless.
That's going to happen. It was only a matter of time.
He was losing his job no matter what, and last night was probably the tipping point with Davis just leaving the arena.
Yeah, not good. Not good there. And there's a story in baseball that's got me fired up. So we'll get to all that coming up in the next hour and a half. A couple of final thoughts on this before we get to the Adam Silver story. We were talking about the Pac-12 situation. More articles coming out about how inept they are. Let me see this. Somebody said, you're wrong because it starts with Larry Scott. When you eliminate the commissioner, you get a new commissioner in. Now you're going to have a brand new start, and you're not going to continue on with bad deals. If you keep this guy in there, it's just going to be another bad deal in 3 years.
You're not listening to what we're saying then, because we're telling you Larry Scott's not a good commissioner.
No, he's a terrible commissioner.
It's the university presidents, yes, that hired him. It's the ones he has to answer to. It's no different than Roger Goodell in the NFL. He answers to the NFL owners. If he's doing a crappy job and the majority of them don't like it, they can fire him and go get a new one. The presidents, including a bottom feeder at Oregon State, have already come out and called everybody fake news and said everything is okay.
Yeah.
So Larry Scott's not good, but we're not wrong. We're trying to tell you,
right,
this is a bigger problem than just Larry Scott.
We can't get him fired.
And for some reason, everybody wants to ignore that fact and just let the president skate on by.
Yeah, focus on the presidents, man. Another one, and I agree with this. Even though the schools are making less than projected, the people in charge are still clearing their checks. And that's the part that should outrage you, because some programs are okay with or without the money. Some really hurt from it financially. The fact that Larry Scott still makes his money and you're in San Francisco paying all that, that is the ridiculous point that I think we continue to point out at least. So, hey, what do you think of Adam Silver as the NFL commissioner?
Adam Silver, is he a better commissioner than Goodell? I mean, maybe, but here's what I would laugh about with Silver. Silver is a NBA shill for the owners. The league is much different. If he were to take that job, and I know he declined it, but if he were to have taken that job, I think Adam Silver would be a slightly more likable version of Roger Goodell. And I think anybody that thinks differently is out of their mind.
What do you, he would still get booed at draft night,
yes,
when he walked out down there on stage?
We would not like him. He'd have controversial moves.
Ooh.
If he had the same power, he'd probably make bad rulings. Adam Silver's good. I like Adam Silver, but I'm not going to act like he'd go to the NFL and everything would be different.
Well, ESPN reported that multiple NFL owners have tried to persuade Silver to run their league over the last 5 years that he's been NBA commissioner. Apparently, he's also been approached by a number of Fortune 500 companies. He has who's the most liked commissioner right now in sports?
It's Silver, without a question.
You think
Manfred hasn't been there long enough to really, they don't mind him yet, but he hasn't
been there 4 years.
I think three.
He's dealing with this whole no player signing thing now, though. So that's
yeah, that'll be interesting to see if he comes out and weighs in.
Yeah, but Silver's dealing with player mobility, collusion. Player power, collusion.
Yeah, but I don't.
He's dealing with it.
Yeah, but I don't. Nobody views him as the one that's created that. That was a CBA that the player. He's not getting blamed for that. That's a function of the CBA where Roger Goodell's getting blamed for everything. The NHL, if you think NFL fans hate Goodell, NHL fans hate Bettman, Gary Bettman. They can't stand him.
Bettman's probably the most disliked by the loyal fan base of the sport. There's no doubt about that.
I believe in his tenure, the first time was last year that Silver was booed at the draft.
He got booed at the draft last year.
Not like hard, like Stern did at the end, but he had some faint boos.
That's kind of just a rite of passage, though, right? Like, even if you don't suck at your job, eventually you're going to get booed, aren't you?
I'd imagine so. Hey, yeah.
You're the commissioner of the league. It's fun to boo you. That's what fans do.
Well, you're representing the owners, right?
Right.
And, you know, for some reason, a lot of people hate the owners. So there you go.
Yeah, he officially replaced David Stern in 2014. League revenues have increased from $4.8 billion to a projected $9.1 billion. And team evaluations have increased 267%, going from an average of $509 million in 2013 to $1.9 billion in the latest Forbes magazine.
I want to know how many owners wanted Goodell out, and then I'm also curious if it was more than half, like enough to really get him out versus, I don't know, what, four or five guys going, hey, let's get him out of here.
Yeah, it just says several. It doesn't put a number on it.
If there was like a huge contingent, you wouldn't take that? I would.
You would take the money and run?
Look, the league is great. The players like you. You're going to make more money in the NFL, and it's an easy league to sell. Roger Goodell's getting the credit for them bringing in, what, $15 billion right now?
I think Goodell just signed, what, like a five-year, $200 million extension or something. Like, that guy makes crazy money.
You have to be very comfortable not caring about what people think about you. But if you're comfortable in your own skin and you know half of what's reported about you is inaccurate, then go take the money.
Yeah, so that was reported by ESPN that multiple NFL owners have approached Adam Silver saying, hey, man, what do you think? Just jump on over here. What do you think? Run our league. He said, no, I'm good. And Fortune 500 companies have approached him as well. But he has shot them all down. He's sticking with his true love, the NBA.
Do you think we're going to have a new NFL commissioner before the next CBA agreement?
No.
I don't either.
I think it's in 2 years.
2021.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So two seasons, and he just signed a five-year extension, I believe, last year or the year before.
I don't know how those contracts work either, if there's like an easy out for the owners if they really hate what he does in a year.
I hate this guy. So there's your commissioner news for the day, Larry Scott to the NBA, to the NFL. Let's get back into, just briefly, I know, the Colin Kaepernick situation, but Benjamin Albright, he's an NFL writer, been around the league a long time. What does he make of this entire thing? What's next for the league? And we'll talk about some other NFL nuggets with him as well. Crunch time on The Fan.
The pressure's on.
We have an opportunity to reestablish ourselves, get a big win. Not all is lost.
Who's feeling the heat?
Now we got to go home and make sure that, you know, we take care of business there. Shame on us if we don't.
It's crunch time. A look at the hottest topic in sports. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments.
Hey, crunch time brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 a month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments. Don't usually do this, but we're going with a guest for crunch time today, and he's joining us on the MVPHomeLoans.com Guild Hotline. Benjamin Albright, friend of the show, at Albright NFL on Twitter, NFL writer, and we've had him on a number of times. But big news in the National Football League today. Ben, thanks so much for taking the time for us. Just your initial reaction, Colin Kaepernick, Eric Reed settling with the National Football League. What was your response to it?
Well, I felt like this was a long time coming. The league wanted this kind of, you know, embarrassing sting behind them. You know, Kaepernick and Reed were looking for closure for what they've been after for a while, and I feel like this is the best way to do it. Neither side was necessarily likely to win in court simply because of the way the law is laid out. So it was likely to be embarrassing for everybody if it had actually gone to court, with the NFL's private communications getting exposed, and Kaepernick and Reed probably ultimately unable to settle that to the letter of the law to get the verdict they want. So I think this is an amicable settlement for everybody. Right now, we don't know what the money is, but we will shortly, even with the non-disclosure agreements, because each team is going to have to pay 1/32nd of this settlement, and the Packers release their financials publicly every year. So we'll know next year exactly how much the settlement was.
Well, I'm curious, Ben, on how you view it, because I see where you're coming from. A lot of people are speculating on a national scene that maybe this meant the NFL knew Kaepernick had evidence that was damning against them. So why go to court? Why go to that length? Let's get you a check now. Do you buy that theory?
To a degree. I don't know that he necessarily had anything that was super damaging in the sense that he would win his verdict, but the NFL's private communications probably contain quite a few embarrassing items in there, and the last thing you want to do, especially with new competing leagues popping up right and left, is have those communications out in the public eye.
Yeah, we're talking with Benjamin Albright, NFL writer at Albright NFL on Twitter. A report came out yesterday that he was demanding $20 million to play.
That is totally false.
Totally false. Yeah, what did you think when you heard it, and then just kind of you just checked on people to find out if there was any truth behind it?
Well, my eyes went wide because I already knew that was not accurate. I have a good source in the AAF who's kind of helped me with some things there. They reached out to Kaepernick and Tebow. That part is true. Neither of them were interested in playing. No money was ever discussed. I called my source back at the time. I was like, what is going on with this? And he said, the Associated Press is normally better than to run with a story that has a single source that wasn't verified by anybody, a single anonymous source not verified by anybody. That was their comment.
Well, where do we go from here, Benjamin? Because a lot of people are wondering now, is the story officially dead? Kaepernick got the money, obviously going in a lawsuit. That's what he was looking for because of collusion. Are we still going to hear about Colin Kaepernick not getting the shot? I think there's a mix in this country of sports fans that are interested in it just to see what is coming from it. And other people are exhausted from it. Do you think it ends today now that the settlement's been reached?
I don't think it ends today, and I certainly would like to see him get a camp invite somewhere with the NFL to see, so we could settle it once and for all, as far as that stuff goes. I don't particularly think he's going to have much of an NFL career, if one at all, going forward. He's about 5 or 6 years removed from being productive, in the NFL. That's a downer. Being involved with one of these minor leagues, I don't think really fits his agenda. I feel like he's a guy that's kind of done with football. Honestly, it feels like a guy who's moving to the next phase of his life, and he wants to work in social justice. And now he's got the startup capital to be able to do that kind of thing. And I think that's certainly commendable. If he's got positive causes he wants to do, more power to him.
Talking about Benjamin Albright, NFL writer at Albright NFL on Twitter. So your sense, if you're a betting man, you would say probably doesn't play in the NFL again?
Yeah, if you gave me $1 million and told me I had to bet it on one outcome, I'd bet it all on doesn't play another down in the NFL.
There you go. Yeah.
Sticking in the NFL with you, there's also some people wondering about what Nick Foles' market's going to be, because that whole ugly thing with the Eagles that's going down. How many teams do you think are really in the running to want to sign Nick Foles to a decent deal?
Not very many. I tried to tell people this last year when people were, floating theories that he was going to pull 2 first-round draft picks and all this other stuff after that Super Bowl run. And, the market for Nick Foles is not very high. Most of the league is not convinced that he's a solid starter outside of that Andy Reid, Doug Peterson system. I suspect that he's going to wind up in Jacksonville on a much smaller deal than people think, and probably for a 3rd-round draft pick.
Yeah, but what'd you make of the Joe Flacco trade the other day that we saw? Him going to Denver, I believe, a 4th-round pick going in return. What were your thoughts on that?
In terms of talent, it's kind of an out of the frying pan into the fire kind of deal. He and Case Keenum are kind of opposite sides of the same coin. They do the totally different things, but, you arrive at the same levels of production, at the same levels of efficiency when all said and done. I talked to some Broncos coaches, and they just said, well, look, we love Case. He's a good guy. But, in the end, Joe Flacco's arm forces you to defend every blade of grass on the field, and Case just doesn't. So that's the reason we gave up the 4th we got for Demaryius for him.
If you were to poll the NFL teams, which player do you think teams would rather bring in on a big deal, Odell Beckham or Antonio Brown?
Odell Beckham, hands down.
Just from the on-the-field stuff, or even taking into account the off-the-field antics?
Both. Okay. You know, Odell's younger. You're not getting a guy who, you know, has done some of the things that Antonio has done. Well, Odell's been a distraction in some sense. It's a little bit different than some of the things Antonio Brown has done, which have been kind of malicious. Today, he was on the Twitter favoriting tweets where people suggested that Ben Roethlisberger was a rapist. That's not going to buy you a lot of goodwill.
God. That's not good. Well, on that note, I am curious to ask you, we already asked you one gambling question. How about another one? If you had to put money on, if not only obviously Odell has to get traded, it seems like Antonio Brown will in the matter of time. Where would you put your money on them ending up?
With Antonio, I would say the front runner is the San Francisco 49ers. You know, there's some other teams out there that'd be interested, but I would suggest they would be far and away the front runner. They've got the money to be able to facilitate it. They've got the cap room, and they've got the need. As far as Beckham goes, oof, if he gets traded, and I don't think that that's 100% likely, I would suggest that Cleveland would probably be the thing. He has a very good relationship with Jarvis Landry. They've got the money, and I would suggest that'd be a good fit.
Yeah, were their teammates at LSU, right?
At LSU, yeah.
Correct.
You know, the other thing I'm thinking about, too, with the NFL is a lot of movement, a lot of people wondering and speculating how that's going to involve the draft. Are you a Kyler Murray guy or no?
I'm not. I can tell you as a short, smallish, fast quarterback myself back in the day, playing like that is very, very fun until a big guy catches you, and then it's not. I'll say this. If you're a short quarterback, you know, there's two ways generally in college they use to mask that deficiency. Oklahoma did them both. You widen the splits in your offensive linemen, and you drop the quarterback further deep in their drop in order to be able to see the field better. And the problem with doing that in the pros is if you widen those splits, teams are going to double-leg that blitz you to death. And if you drop them further in your drop, well, you're just dropping them right back into the rush arc of most defensive ends. They don't have to get any bend in order to be able to sack you, so you're an easier sack target. So, you know, I'm not saying that Kyler can't be successful in the NFL. I'm just saying that the things that they did at Oklahoma to make him successful don't work in the NFL.
We'll get you out on this one. I saw you have a pinned tweet, and I think it's a really cool thing to do. You're saying on your preseason predictions next year that for everyone that you get wrong, you're going to donate $100 to the Paralyzed Veterans of America. I think that's a great way to handle, because we all screw up on our preseason predictions. Do you have any thoughts for a prediction right now that you think you're definitely going to be paying for?
Oh, man, that's a good one. Nothing that jumps out at me yet that I'm going to be dead wrong on. We had a couple, all total, I think, since we pinned that tweet, we've donated $800. So, you know, I took a couple of ones that I was already going to be wrong on, went ahead and threw the money in. But nothing new that's jumping out at me yet. But I tell you what, if something comes up, you'll be the first to know.
I love it.
What was the biggest whiff for you last year? And maybe what is one of the bigger whiffs in your career where you were like, I can't believe I went the wrong way on that one?
Oh, man. Oof. You know, I thought Brian Brown was going to be a 10-year All-Pro. I really whiffed on that one. The quarterback came out of Arkansas a couple years ago, Tyler Wilson. I thought he was going to be a star in the league. I whiffed on that one pretty bad. Man, what else? The Kareem Hunt thing is the most recent one. I thought Kareem was going to wind up in Buffalo. They were really heavily sniffing him, and then it ended up being Cleveland. So that's the most recent.
Yeah, there you go. Benjamin Albright, great stuff. At Albright NFL on Twitter. Give him a follow and keep up with all of his great work. Ben, we appreciate the time, man. I know it's a busy news day, and thanks for taking a few minutes for us here in Portland.
Absolutely, guys. Take care.
There you go. Benjamin Albright, he joins us on the MVPHomeLoans.com Guild Hotline. Thinks there's a little finality to the story. Says the $20 million report.
Yeah.
Completely false. That never happened, asking for $20 million to play in the AAF. But yeah, if you're just joining us, Cap and Eric Reed have settled with the NFL. And I didn't know the Green Bay. I didn't even think about that. That we will eventually know no matter what, because Green Bay has to disclose their financial holdings.
Yeah, you do the payment, you times it by 32. There you go. On the Kaepernick stuff, I know we people that tweeted us, we get texts, like, exhausted of it. I get it. I do. I brought this up this morning. I was like, hey, should we talk about the AAF $20 million? And Dirk goes, I don't want to talk about him. But obviously, this story you had to bring up. I do firmly believe this story is going to go away.
Yeah.
You'll get some people that will randomly tweet, oh, Cap could be in the NFL. He's 2 years removed. Next year's going to be year three.
Yeah.
At some point, even if he's only in his, young 30s, 30, 31 or whatever, he's not going to be able to come back. He's just going to be out of football too long, and people won't think about him. He's got his money. He clearly wants to do the social justice stuff. I really don't think he wants to play football. I have believed that since this whole lawsuit took place. That's why I never bought any notion of him playing in any other league than the NFL or even being a second or third string quarterback. I think he had in his mind, if he was going to play, It was to be an opportunity as a starter. That opportunity didn't really land. He thought it was collusion. Boom, there's the lawsuit. I'm doing my own thing with social justice. I'm doing my thing with Nike. My girlfriend is one of the national radio hosts in hip hop. I'm going to live in New York and do my thing. I really think it's going to go away. For the people that hate the story, I do believe this is going to kind of put an end to it until he randomly appears in the headlines for whatever he ends up doing.
Right. Could be a light at the end of the tunnel for you. Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 a month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments. Coming up at the final hour, we got to spring the line at 2:30, so get your fake sponsors in 55305. There's a baseball story that's just driving me nuts. I want to get to that coming up at 2:15. But we'll start, though, with just the dumpster fire that continues in New Orleans. The latest on Anthony Davis, and Charles Barkley spoke to the media yesterday, and I thought he had some pretty good points on it. We'll start the final hour there next. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.